I am most honored and grateful to be present in this very auspicious memorial ceremony for Nandarani Devi. My special gratitude to Anand Mohan Prabhu, Vrindavaneshwari Mataji, for hosting all of us. In his offering, His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj has showered his profound blessing upon this great soul, Nandarani Devi. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has written, Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasado, Yasya Prasada Na Kati Kuto. That when the spiritual master is pleased, Krishna is most pleased. Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, who is the spiritual master of Nandarani Devi and her parents, expressed from his heart such deep and genuine pleasure and affection for Nandarani's life. That is perfection. How he was speaking so much from his heart, his appreciation and gratitude for her characteristics, her activities, and what she stood for within this world. Bhagavad Gita tells, Neha vikramanasosti pratyabhayo nividyate svalpam apyasya dharamasya trayate mahato bhayat. That on this path of devotional service, there could be no loss. It is eternal. Whatever service we offer to Krishna and his devotees is forever. There is no power on all of creation that could take it away from us. Nandarani Devi gave so much pleasure to the Vaishnavas. I remember when I heard the news of her departure, I was at Gita Nagari with my dear godbrother Mahamuni Prabhu. And he began to weep. He was crying tears. He was so attached to her good qualities. Like no one else, she really, really attracted our hearts. Her cheerful smile, her enthusiasm to serve, always excited with spontaneous enthusiasm to hear about Krishna, to chant, to dance, and especially to serve the devotees. Something wonderful. Yes, one who is very dear to the heart of the Vaishnavas has achieved a special place in the heart of Krishna. And she has done that. Shukadev Goswami has said, what is the use of long life in forgetfulness of Krishna? Better one moment in full consciousness. Trees live thousands of years sometimes. But many of the greatest personalities who have affected the world only live for a very short lifespan. Human life is meant for quality. Samsidhir Haritoshana. What is high quality life? That life of giving pleasure to Krishna. That is the ultimate perfection. Atapum birgvijastrestas varana shrama vibhagasha shanushtatasya dharmasya samsadira aritoshana. Whatever our occupation, whatever our status in society, our perfection is that we please Krishna. In the Adi Purana, Krishna tells Arjuna, Madbhakta Puja Yadika, that what pleases him most is when we please his devotees. Nandarani Devi, she was very specially blessed with the empowerment to spontaneously please the devotees. The way she served, the way she offered her respects, drew spontaneous, heartfelt blessings from the Vaishnavas. Some people ask for blessings. Some people demand blessings. But that is not how to receive real blessings. By serving with such a genuine spirit of affection and sincerity, then the innermost blessings of a person's heart just naturally flow toward us. That is real bhakti, something very real. In her innocence, such a genuine desire for spiritual progress, such a genuine will to always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. And the way she did it was so charming. It was such an inspiration to our hearts. Bhagavad Gita tells, Kauntiya prati janahi name bhakta pranashyati, that my devotee never perishes. Arjuna, you declare this boldly for the whole world to hear. That is Krishna's promise. Manmanabhava madbhakto madhyajimna namaskuru mam evaishashi satyam te pratijani priyoshi. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. I promise this. For those who knew Nandarani, we saw her enthusiasm to always think of Krishna, become her devotee, worship her, and offer homage to him. With such simplicity and such a clean heart. So yes, it is Krishna's promise that such a person will come to him. Today, we have gathered together not only for the purpose of offering our homage, our remembrances, and our love to Nandarani Devi, but especially for the purpose of keeping the memory of her good character alive within our hearts. At this time, His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj will share his very deep and profound realizations on this subject with us. Thank you very, very much.
Well, first of all, let's make a deal. I'll speak on the condition that no one snaps any photographs. Sorry. Radhanath Maharaj is so deep in Krishna consciousness that flashes can be going off and he is undisturbed. Some of us still have to aspire to reach that level.
I'm just always disturbed.
There's disturbed and there's disturbed.
Om Agyanam Timirandasya Kiranjana Shalakaya Shakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurudev Nama Shri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayam Tadhati Shapalantikam. I was just in the United Arab Emirates, and yesterday one of their leading devotees had a stroke. The doctor said there's no recovery, actually. They're just waiting for some relatives to come, and then I think they'll remove the machinery and they'll leave. But the story was that he was at a program and he offered obeisances and just didn't get up. And His Holiness Mahavishnu Maharaj from Nepal was there, and the gathering of devotees were there. And of course they all have questions, how could such a thing happen to such a nice devotee? And why is Krishna doing this? But one thing is that the departure of a devotee, whatever the circumstances, is always auspicious. Nahi kalyana krit kaschit durgatim tata kaschit. There's no such thing as inauspiciousness for a devotee. This particular devotee, his last conscious act was to offer obeisances to the Lord, and that also in Ekadashi. So where's the question of inauspicious? For a devotee, auspicious or inauspicious, everything is auspicious. Even the most inauspicious difficulties are, for a devotee, another way of glorifying the devotee. Pandavas had to go through so many trials, but that was not inauspicious. It was ultimately for their glorification. But so for the devotee, there's no problem. The devotee is going to a better destination or going back to Godhead. But the problem is for those of us who are behind, because we have to endure the separation of the devotee. And that's very difficult. As Maharaj said, leaving for Nandarari was practically very easy, just quick and gone. But we don't have that good fortune. We have to go on. And we have to endure the separation of the devotee. Even from a material point of view, for the parents, it's always a great shock to lose a child. Therefore, that was Agasura's policy, that I'll kill all the children in Vrindavan, and then the parents will be finished. That was his strategy. Because the children are life and soul for the parents. So I'll kill the children, and that will be, the parents will be devastated. That way I'll destroy all of Vrindavan. That was his idea. Because naturally the parents will feel so strongly. When Krishna was in the coils of the Kaliya serpent, they were all inauspicious omens and people, something is happening, and then they saw Krishna's not there and they followed his footprints and they came to the side of the lake and they saw that Krishna is trapped in the coils of this poisonous multi-hooded serpent. And then it appeared as if Krishna was was finished. It appeared as if Krishna was finished. And everyone was just completely stricken with lamentation. They were falling on the bank of the lake and as if Dad, Jashodamayi, wanted to just enter the water. That means to enter the poisonous water and die. Only Balaram was unaffected. The Balaram knew, what is this nonsense water snake? For Krishna, it's nothing. He can deal with any demon and anything. So everyone is lamenting, everyone is crying, everyone is fainting, everyone is falling on the ground, everyone is thinking of ending their life, and Balaram is watching and preventing them also. Don't enter the water. But those feelings, of course, there it's Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's the reservoir of loving relationships for every devotee, certainly, or actually for every living being in the awakened state. So naturally they were feeling these tremendous emotions. The impersonalists have no emotions. That's their ideal, that we won't have any emotions. We'll become, by tapasya, by meditation, by philosophy, we'll become impervious to all of these material feelings. And they want to enter a state in which there's only ananda. But actually their ananda is a kind of obliteration of every sensation, every perception, everything there is. So that their method of spiritual realization simply makes them hard-hearted and something like stones. It makes them something like stones. They're aloof from all sentiments of the material world, or at least trying to attain that. And they have no higher sentiment with which to replace it. They're just hum brahmasmi, or trying to merge with the Supreme. But the devotee in devotional service, there's feelings also. For the Mayavadis, feelings are Maya. The whole material world is all about feelings. Feelings between men and women, feeling between parents and children, feeling between brothers and sisters, feelings between one person and another. All these feelings, they're all Maya. So we want to get free from these feelings and attain Nirvana. This is their aspiration. But devotees are different. In devotional service, there's intense feeling. There's intense feeling. The Goswamis were like madmen, running around Vrindavan because of their feelings of separation from Krishna. Hey Radhe, Radhadevi Keja Lalite, Hey Nanushunakata. They were running all over Vrindavan. Where is Radharani? Where is Krishna? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he showed feelings that are not possible even for any living entity, any jiva to experience. Mahabhava. He was, Kaviraj Goswami describes very confidentially in the later portions of Chaitanya Charitamrita how intensely Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeling the separation of Krishna. And on the other side, there's the happy feelings that the devotees feel when Krishna's glories are recited. The devotees sometimes feel their hair standing on end in transcendental happiness. When there's some drama and Krishna kills the demon or Krishna does something wonderful, then the devotees experience different kinds of feelings, different kinds of ecstasies in relationship with Krishna. So the full range of human feeling is there in devotional service. But it's not this material. It's not the same as the feelings of the materialist, because the feelings of the materialist are simply their reference point is this body. Their reference point is this body. And everything is seen as tragic or as glorious or as wonderful or as horrible simply in relationship to the material covering of the living being and not in relationship to the living being himself. This is called Maya. But the devotees have feelings in relationship to Krishna and in relationship to Krishna's devotees. Krishna means Krishna with the devotees. Krishna's never alone. He's never impersonal. He's always with the gopis, with the cowherd boys, with the cows, with his mother, with his father, with the monkeys. He's always associated. Hare Krishna. So the devotees experience different kinds of very deep feelings in relationship to Krishna and in relationship to the devotees of Krishna. In fact, if we don't feel feelings, if we don't experience transcendental feelings, it means that we're not very advanced. And the Prabhupada translated that Durudaiva Midrashimihajani Nanuraga. I'm chanting Hare Krishna. But unfortunately, because I'm chanting with the fences, I don't feel anything. I don't feel anything while chanting. In the second canto, it said that the person who's chanting the holy name of the Lord and doesn't experience feelings of transformation within his body, doesn't experience tears from the eyes, has a heart that's framed with steel. He's chanting Krishna's holy name. He's associating with Krishna. And he doesn't feel anything. It means that the heart is framed with steel. Of course, coming from the conditioned life, that's practically our position, that if we feel something, then it's like, you know, the greatest event in our life, because usually we don't feel anything. We're dull, we're lacking. How the Goswamis were feeling for Krishna, how Srila Prabhupada was feeling for Krishna. That depth of feeling we have yet to come to. But still, even in our present position, we have some feeling. Feeling especially for the devotees. This feeling for the devotees is not different from feeling for Krishna. So when remembering Nandarani, her activities, her joyful nature, it's all in connection with Krishna. And therefore our remembrance is on the transcendental platform. We feel the happiness that we feel by remembering her sweet qualities is a spiritual happiness. And the distress that we feel from her separation is also a spiritual distress. When Ramananda Roy was talking with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking him so many questions. And Ramananda Roy was answering. He said, actually, you're answering, but you're answering by having me answer. So, like a musical instrument, you're actually playing, but it seems that I'm making the sound. So, Ramananda Roy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, what's the greatest distress? What's the greatest distress in this world? And Ramananda Roy said that the separation from a devotee, the separation of a devotee is the greatest distress. So, therefore we have mixed feelings. When Bhishma Dev left on the battlefield of arrows, the devotees, like the Pandavas and others gathered, had mixed feelings. They were, on the one side, happy that he'd been released, lying so many days on a bed of arrows. So they felt, yes, now he's released, and at an auspicious time and so on, they were sure that he'd attained perfection, gone back to Godhead. And on the other side, they were feeling distressed because such a great soul who'd been so affectionate to all of them, even to the Kauravas, to the whole court, to practically generations of the royal family, was now gone. Similarly, when Haridas Thakur left this world, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed that the same mixture, that we're feeling happiness that the great soul Haridas Thakur has gone back to Godhead. And we're feeling distressed because we'll no longer have his association in this world. So at a meeting like this, we may also feel this combination of sentiments, that happy to remember such a wonderful devotee who was so friendly with all the sannyasis especially, and friendly with all the devotees who practically lived in the Juhu temple at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Rasa Bihari Ji, and was always engaged in some very nice way in relationship to the deities, in relationship to the devotees. So naturally we'll feel happy to remember all of these things. And at the same time we feel spiritual distress that we're missing her association. The nature of the material world is that this separation is inevitable. What is that in the Bhagavad Gita? The Krishna says that the living being is unmanifest, then manifest, then unmanifest again. That's the nature of the world. No relationship in the material world, or no association in the material world lasts. Even the association of the spiritual master on the physical platform will be broken, and we'll have only the instructions of the spiritual master. Or, yes, not only in the sense of merely, but the physical association will no longer be available. At that time, we have to associate by remembering his words of instruction. So, of course, Krishna, there's no, any Krishna or the living entity, there's no birth or death. When we're on the platform of Krishna consciousness, birth and death are superficial. And life is permanent. So we have these meetings to remember Nandarani. And while remembering her, to remember our relationship with her, our dealings with her, and her dealings with the personality of Godhead, Krishna, and with the other devotees. And in this way, we feel fortunate sometimes happily fortunate, sometimes feeling unhappy. But either way, that feeling in relationship to a devotee has great meaning. Not simply, it's not the meaningless, illusory feeling of this material world. It's a feeling that has substantial reality because it's in relationship with Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj.